Our scripture reading is taken from Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. Mark 10, 1:3 to 1:6. Listen for a word from God. People were bringing children to Jesus so that he would bless them, but the disciples scolded them. When Jesus saw this, he grew angry and said to them, "Allow the children to come to me. Don't forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these children. I assure you that whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it." Then he hugged the children and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for your word. Thank you for children. Open our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds as we hear from you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go on a backpacking trip with some family friends of mine for 3 days. And the friends at that time had a young teenage son and then a six-year-old son. And so the five of us went together on this three-day backpacking trip out east. And before we left, we sort of got together to be strategic about who was going to carry what and what all we needed and who was going to do all of the jobs. And so we divvied up all of the stuff. And the adults spread out the heavy stuff. So my friend David carried the tents, my friend Amy carried the food, I carried the camping stove, and then the teenage son carried some of the tools that we needed and the snacks and things like that. And the six-year-old had a backpack as well, but it was mostly just his own clothing. And the rest of us carried all of the communal stuff and the heavy stuff and the sleeping bags and all of that. So on the first day, we were hiking pretty far. We had to get several miles to get to our campsite, and it was a long, hard day. And near the end, Aiden, the six-year-old, was exhausted and could not carry his backpack anymore. And so the rest of us took turns carrying his backpack on the front. So we'd have our big backpacks on our backs, and we'd put his backpack on the front, and we would trade off taking turns with it and hike with Aiden's backpack. It wasn't too long after starting this rotation that the teenager Jack started to grumble. And he said, "How is this fair? Not only is Aiden not carrying any of the communal stuff, he's not even carrying his own stuff. Why do we have to carry it?" And the adults kind of looked at each other and smirked and said, "Yeah, you're right. He's not carrying his own weight, is he?" It's amazing how kids are kind of like that sometimes. We are in the midst of a series about hymns and about songs that change us. Worship that enhances our experience of God and of one another. And last Sunday, if you were here, we spoke about the communion hymn that we started this service with, "I Come With Joy." And today we get to think about the baptismal hymn that we just got to sing together, "Child of Blessing, Child of Promise." So we've been looking at these sacraments that we celebrate in the Presbyterian Church and the songs that go along with them. And this in particular, this hymn about baptism, is one of my favorites. And it is so unique in one way that I wonder if you picked up on. Parent. So there is some very inclusive language in this text. In fact, the hymn was written in the early 80s when there was a big push to have more inclusive language within the hymnal. So instead of everything being father, 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 he, there's language like parent, God as a loving parent. One of the unique things that I noticed is that if you flip through a hymnal, most hymns are addressed to God. They sing about how great thou art, about who God is, about what God has done for us, or they sing about the community and learning about God and how we are growing together because of what we know of God. But this hymn is addressed to a child. This hymn is from the perspective of someone sitting in a pew just like you, watching a baptism take place in a worship service, and the song is addressed to the child. Child of blessing, child of promise, you are sealed by God's Holy Spirit today. With this water, God has sealed you unto love and grace divine. This hymn is unique because it's addressed to a child. It still speaks of God and shares of what we know of God, but it's very specific in being a part of the community message to a child being baptized. Within many baptism traditions, there is a part of the ceremony of the service where the congregation speaks vows. So the parents or the person being baptized will profess faith and say some vows as well. And then we turn to the congregation and say, now will you help this person along in their faith? However old they are, will you be a part of their journey? And the congregation says, yes, we do. And this hymn I love because it's a representation of that. It's a moment of the congregation looking at the child and saying, I know God's love for you. I want to be a part of this journey with you. We are in this together. It's such a beautiful message that gives me goosebumps every time I sing it. Baptism and the sacrament are, it's one of the highly debated things within the Christian church. When can a person be baptized? How old should they be? What should have to happen? Who qualifies? It's something that has divided people and divided denominations for many, many years. And in the Presbyterian church, we say that you can be baptized at whatever age. Some within the Presbyterian church think that it's valuable to wait until a child is older, of an age of discernment, and can make the decision themselves and profess faith and be baptized then. And others say this is a sign of what God has done, not what we have done, and so infant baptism might also make sense, that God has sealed us before we can even respond or declare faith in any way, and so we bring infants to baptize as well. And the parents or the caregivers say that we will be a part of this person growing up in the faith. So Presbyterians baptize infants, they baptize older children, they baptize teenagers and adults of all ages, and wherever they are in their journey of faith, it's a beautiful expression. I always try to be clear when I talk about baptism in the Presbyterian church that we, in our denomination, in our tradition, we do not believe that baptism is transactional. We don't believe that this is the act that has a saving power in the sense that if a baby is born and tragically dies before they're baptized, they are not going to go to any kind of hell or purgatory. We say that we believe that baptism is the outward and visible sign of a truth that already exists, of an inner truth of God's love, and that this is the act where we are sealed in God's Spirit and part of a community. And so in that sense, it is about what God has already done. It isn't a transaction. It's a way to acknowledge the love and to seal God's Spirit within us. The scripture text that Kalu read for us comes in several different varieties and versions throughout the Gospels. There are children present, they're trying to come to Jesus, and the adults are pushing them back, scolding the adults for bringing them and saying, no, don't bother him, he's doing important things. And Jesus says, no, let the children come to me. In this version, it says he embraces them or lays hands upon them and offers them blessing, doesn't just welcome their presence, but actually brings them to himself and offers hope and love and welcome. Often when we read this passage, we hear the message that Jesus was speaking to the disciples, which is, you should also be welcoming like that. You should also welcome the children among you. And we're reminded of what a first century ancient Near East child might be like, that it wouldn't have the same air of of cuteness maybe and excitability that we treat children with today, but children in that time were really seen as not yet adults, not really productive or worth anything. And so there was this sense that children were on the very outskirts and should not be allowed into important settings and places with important people. And so often when we hear this message today, we get the lesson that we should be welcoming, not just of literal children in our midst, but of the equivalent in our society today, of people that are pushed to the outside, that might not have a lot of worth in society, that we should be welcoming to them. And absolutely, I think that is a message of Jesus here. But I also think what Jesus is reminding us in this text is that there is child in all of us. No matter how old we are, no matter how intelligent we are, no matter how faithful we are, there is child in us all. We embrace this fully at Fort Street. As you notice in our bulletin, we do not just a children's sermon, but a time for the child in us all. And sometimes that's practical because there are weeks when we don't have children here. And there are weeks when we have a fair number of children here, but that time is so valuable to us because there is a child in us all, and it's an opportunity to be engaged and to be playful and to go walk up and look at the organ. And I'll tell you, more people remember things from the time for the child than they do from the sermons long after, and we acknowledge that. There is child in all of us. I think in this story, in this text of Jesus welcoming the children, not only is he saying, yes, be welcoming to the outcast, but also remember that you are welcomed by God. You, even when you are not feeling like you are worthy, even when you don't carry your own weight, even when you don't volunteer enough, even when you're stuck in a cycle of grief that makes you feel like you're never going to be productive again. Even when you're not crossing things off the to-do list and achieving a whole lot. Even when you haven't forgiven that person you know you're really supposed to forgive. God is reminding us that we are like children. And maybe also that we should be more like children. Children are vulnerable. They have no choice but to be dependent on others. Jesus tells the disciples through this that maybe they could learn something from being absolutely dependent on others, not trying to prove themselves worthy, but in a posture of receiving. Children are open to mystery and to magic. The world hasn't been so defined for them, and so anything is possible and anything is magnificent and amazing. I am learning that over and over again this spring with my 3-year-old, Naima. Every morning, she demands that we go for a walk around our house. And this is the first spring that we have lived in this house, and so things are blossoming that we didn't know were there. It's a new place for all of us, and it's been so fun. I have never been as aware of spring as I am right now. And it's because Naima will walk me around the house every morning. It could take 30 seconds, but it usually takes us 10 to 12 minutes to just go around the perimeter of our house, and we notice things, and she points things out. There's one tree in our backyard that is a beautiful mystery to her. And we noticed a couple of weeks ago it had teeny tiny little buds on it. And so she stopped, and every time she does this gasp, she goes, oh, wow. And so we noticed the teeny tiny bud. And a couple of days later, we noticed it got that big. And then a couple days after that, we noticed it got that big. And then a couple days after that, we noticed it started to open a little bit, and every day, And we don't even know what color the flowers are going to be yet. This is our first season in this house. And so it's exciting, and it's a mystery, and it's magical. And this tree is changing before our eyes. And I would have maybe noticed next month, pink flowers. Okay. But Naima, every day, is embracing the mystery and the magic and taking me in my own yard and saying, children, show us the mystery and the magic of this world. Children, kindergartners in particular, by research, are the best creative thinkers on the planet. They have the highest divergent thinking scores of all people of all levels of education. They're able to see things and make so many creative connections in their minds because anything is possible. As we grow up, we understandably have to kind of put things in categories and make subjects and follow reason and lines of thinking in order to get things done, but actually we lose out on a lot of mystery when we do that. So maybe this is also a call from God to embrace some of that mystery and magic and open our eyes to the world like children again. That creativity, that sense of vulnerability is what allows children to play wholeheartedly. And I think we're called to play much more than we usually allow ourselves. To let our guard down a little bit, to explore, to engage, to be present with things in a playful manner. So maybe this is God's invitation too for us to let our guard down, to observe the world with mystery and magic, and to play in it. On that backpacking trip after the teenager started to groan, my friend David, his dad, had the best response. He said, he's not carrying our communal stuff. He's not carrying his own backpack. We should have just left him with some friends. And my friend David said, yeah, but you know what? He's showing us why we're on this trip in the first place. He's reminding us why it's great to be alive. Because like Naima in my yard, what Aiden was doing on that backpacking trip was being the one to call out, I think it's time for an M&M break. He was the one that was saying, look at that funky tree. It's curved in a weird way. I wonder if lightning hit it. He was making up songs about the rocks that we found. He was wondering about where the bears were hiding. He was the one opening up our imaginations and reminding us why we wanted to be out in nature in the first place. He was the one reminding us why it's good to be alive. Remember your baptism. In a moment, we will have a chance to participate in a baptismal remembrance. Maybe you were baptized as an infant and you have no memories of it. If so, this is a chance for you to connect to the communal memory of baptism and remember that you were baptized, that others hold memories of that. Maybe you haven't been baptized. Know that this experience is still for you as a sign of the promise of baptism and the hope of God's presence that it brings. And so when we do this remembrance, if you would like to, you're invited. There's no pressure. You'll be able to come up to the baptismal font and receive a sign of the cross on your forehead or on your hand as we remember baptism together. And in that remembrance, I want you to think about the lyrics of that hymn that we sang and to know that those lyrics are for you. You are a child of blessing, a child of promise, a child of joy, a child of love, a child of God. And God embraces you exactly as you are, even when you are not worthy or carrying your own weight. And in that remembrance, too, lean into those places where you might be called to be more childlike in your own life, to be vulnerable, to play, to look at the world and say, oh, wow. Would you pray with me? God of new beginnings and of hope, we are your children, not carrying our own weight, not worthy, imperfect, but loved. Bless us as we remember baptism and live into that identity as your child. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.